Hello, good morning, and welcome to our online service for this, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. I've spoken to Matthew this week, and he is well, but is getting very fed up with having to cope with just one hand. We start our service this morning with a prayer. Lord Jesus, true bread from heaven, giving life and refreshment to the world, fill our lives with your goodness, fill our church with your presence, that we may live and work to your praise and glory, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit are one God, now and for ever. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is Morning Has Broken, Like the First Morning. We have come together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek the forgiveness of our sins, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. In a moment of quiet, we call to mind those things we need to confess this morning. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Ein tad, hwnwyt yn y nefoedd, sancteiddio'r enw, dilyd y deyrnas, gwneli'r dewyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyroi ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol a maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddiw ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth eithi'r gwared ni rhag drwg, canys eiddo ti o'r deyrnas, a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
The Collect for this morning, the 11th Sunday after Trinity. O God, you declare your almighty power, most chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant to us such a measure of your grace that we, running the way of your commandments, may receive your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our New Testament reading today comes from Ephesians chapter 5 and is read by Kitty.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The next hymn this morning is Father, Hear the Prayer We Offer. Not for ease that prayer shall be. Gospel this morning comes from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 51. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to the crowd, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The address this morning is given by our LMA Dean, John Lewis.
Good morning and a very warm welcome. Croeso cynnes. Lord Jesus, uphold me that I might uplift thee to the glory of God the Father. Amen. I like singing. Those around me may not like my singing, but nevertheless, I like singing. However, some days it's not easy to sing. I'm thinking of those days in our lives when we can't break into song, when we're not in the mood. There's a biblical example of that. I'm thinking of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she was spoken to by the angel Gabriel. Surely that would make you sing. Yet, let's look at the facts. She's young. She's a good Jewish girl who grew up in a nice Jewish home, acting in a proper Jewish way. She's betrothed to Joseph, and now she finds out that she's pregnant. I'd hazard a guess that it isn't so easy to sing in a situation like that. It's going to become very real for Mary, and that very quickly. Households being what they were at the time, it wouldn't take long for her mother to notice what was happening. And then she'll have to tell her family what happened. It was just an ordinary day when an angel came to me and said that God was going to make me have a child, and the child is going to be the Messiah. Did her parents believe her? We're not told. But we do know that Joseph had in mind to divorce her. The stigma attached to the whole event is too much for him to bear. On this day in the church calendar, when we think of Mary, let's turn to the scriptures. In the verses immediately before our reading, verses 39 to 45 of the opening chapter of Luke, Mary is willing to be the Lord's servant. But Mary, perhaps on the advice of family, perhaps just to get out of Nazareth for a while, Mary takes a hurried trip to the hill country of Judea, a trip of about 100 miles. Elizabeth is a much older woman, a relative of Mary, who is now 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. When Mary arrives, something amazing happens. There's a remarkable greeting. Verse 41, the six-month baby within Elizabeth leaps, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 43, Mary is confirmed as the mother of our Lord. In the weeks before arriving at the house of Elizabeth, Mary's world had been turned upside down. God is definitely at work, seeking to bring the Saviour into this world. But it is Mary who bears the ridicule, the questioning of her morals, the judgments, the loneliness and the pain. Yet when this greeting happens, Mary is able to gain perspective. Mary's life is so different now. Life as the mother of the Messiah will be far from easy. There will be pain, suffering, grief, heartache. Indeed, when Jesus is presented at the temple, Simeon will prophesy about the life of Jesus. He tells Mary that a sword will pierce your own soul too. However, when the angel Gabriel told Mary she was pregnant, her response was, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary is committed to God, no matter how difficult the road will be. Mary is going to trust God's plan, even when that plan is so unique. When she remembers all this, when Mary holds on to the bigger picture, when that perspective is Mary's priority, she's able to sing. God puts a song in her heart, a song that we can read today, the song that makes up our reading, verses 46 to 55 of Luke chapter 1. This is a powerful song. Verse 46, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." She glorifies God. She rejoices in the Saviour. She focuses on the mercy of God. A song in the middle of great difficulty. There are days when it is hard to sing. I'm not saying that literally a song is going to be the answer. Our life is not the sound of music. But I'm talking about those days when it is harder because we have said, like Mary, "I am the Lord's servant." When serving God calls for extreme commitment, when walking in faith brings ridicule and judgment, when the truth of your motives are questioned, when your character is called into doubt, when faith puts you onto a lonely road, the capacity to have a song in your heart, to be able to look to God and be secure in His mercy, is not always easy. So how does Mary do it? How does she turn to the Lord and glorify and rejoice in him? She does it by understanding her situation. My soul glorifies, my spirit rejoices, because, verse 48, my Saviour has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Mary is humble. The humble do not see themselves better than others, for in God's sight sin makes us equally scornful. The humble do not judge others as being less able, knowing only God can make this judgment. The humble stand before God, knowing they have nothing of value to offer, conceding that only God can make us valuable. Being humble is the opposite of being proud. God can't use a proud heart, for a heart that is proud resists the need to listen to the ways of God. Proud people don't allow God to have the final authority in their lives. Pride cannot accept the fact that God has the right to bring us through all types of situations that develop our faith. Proud people say they have a right to be treated in a certain way. But Mary is not like that. She stands in submission. She stands in total dependence on the promises of God. There is total reliance on God to make her life valuable. She's utterly amazed that God would even be inclined to use her in his plans. Humble. Humble at the privilege of being a servant of the Lord who is going through a difficult time. That's what makes Mary sing. Does that faith perspective resonate with you? Do we feel privileged when God brings our lives to a crossroads, where he presses us to be totally reliant on him? Or do we shake our fist at God, irritated by the fact that harmony is missing in our life, getting angry with God because his way is too hard and we feel that we've been forgotten? Do we feel privileged when God gives us a trial that refines our faith, when God helps us to see an area of our life which has not yet come under the authority of his word? Or do we avoid the trial he gives, knowing that a growth in faith will mean acceptance of God's will and way once again? We could sing like Mary, that powerful song where we are glorifying God and rejoicing in the Saviour, even when we're in the midst of great difficulty. We can sing like that when we're humble, but only when we're humble. And we can only be humble when our response to God flows out of our faith in him, which means that such a song is a gift from God to us, a gift of mercy. Verse 50. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. This gift of mercy is that which enables Mary to be humble. She's not naturally humble in the same way that no human is naturally humble. In our natural state, humanity is quite arrogant. We have a tendency towards self and me. In our natural state, we can be quite boastful, lifting ourselves over those around us. In our natural state, we can be quite confident. We are good enough to get by on our own, thank you very much. Numero uno, and all that. In our natural state, we really don't have much time for God and his plans because we arrogantly and boastfully and confidently presume we have everything under control. We sit on our little thrones, ruling over our little kingdoms. We surround ourselves with riches and find security in our wealth. And it is all a myth, thinking we are in control. It is all a myth. And that's why we need more than anything a God who will extend his gift of mercy, a God who has gone to great lengths to enable us to be his children, a God who has implemented a rescue plan in order to secure us a place in his kingdom, a God who comes to us, to humanity, to show how much he cares. My soul glorifies God, my Saviour, the mighty one, verse 50, whose mercies extend to those who fear him. God and Saviour in verse 47 go together. God's plan for us is a wonderful plan that involves our salvation. And God's method of salvation tells us a lot about his name, especially when we remember that the name of God is perfectly revealed in the name of Jesus. The angel said to Mary, "Give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." He is Emmanuel, God with us, divinity in the flesh, the Creator becoming the creature, the Holy One being willing to bear our sins. It's a plan of salvation which requires the one who had every right to punish us to give his life instead. We have no right to demand to be a part of God's family. God doesn't owe us salvation. God didn't have to send Jesus Christ. Yet God places himself in a position where he promises to save people and show them forgiveness. God is willing to bring us to himself just as much as he is unwilling to let us go. That is mercy, the undeserved favor and grace of God. And when we see that mercy, how can we not have a song in our hearts? A powerful song where we glorify God and rejoice in the Savior, even, yes, even in the midst of a difficulty. Yes, there are days when it is more difficult to sing. There are days when the call to have faith and trust are not as easy, when walking in faith brings ridicule and judgment, when the truth of your motives are questioned, when your character is called into doubt, when faith puts you on a lonely road. In those days, when the song is harder to sing, those are the days when we look even closer to the mercy of God, so that our souls can be much more in tune with God's purposes. And God's purpose to us is that he's helping us, just as he helped the people of Israel, just as he helped the young, recently pregnant Mary. God is helping us because he never forgets his promises. Paul puts it this way: we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The faith-stretching days are not designed to push us away from God. They are designed to push us ever closer to him, to increase our trust even more. That is the promise. The harder journey is not a journey designed to take away our song. The harder journey is the journey where God, the loving Father, is getting alongside each one of us, and he's saying, let's get in tune. I ask you, as I ask myself, are you in tune with God today? Trust God in the journey. Glorify the Lord. Rejoice in your Saviour. For he never takes his eyes off his humble servants. Let's pray. Annual Dad, diolchwn I ti am dy heilion ni. Thank you, Lord God, for your promises. Thank you that you lift up the humble. We humble ourselves before you this day. Take our lives, take our hearts, our voices, our hands and feet, and make them something beautiful for you. We want to be in tune with you today. We want your song to be our song. Amen.
We say together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
All my soul praise him, for he is thy help and song.
We come now to our prayers of intercession.
Hello. We've had a slight miscommunication this week, of which the upshot is that it's simplest if I do the intercessions today. I thought I'd begin with an update. Thank you for all your prayers and good wishes, and I know you'd want to join me in thanking again all those who've taken on extra responsibilities in my absence. The update is that the arm is progressing, but I'm not quite sure how quickly. I have an appointment with the surgeon on Wednesday, which will hopefully make things clearer. I still hope to start back on the 23rd of August, but I'm not sure I'll be able to do everything for work. At present, I still can't make a fist, so can't, for example, drive, type two-handed, or manage robes and so on. And on the subject of typing, the script from which I'm trying to read at this moment is hilarious, so I apologise in advance for any mistakes. This next week, Jane and I will vacate the vicarage so that our niece Josie and her family can have a holiday there. Josie is the oldest daughter of Jane's sister Dwina, whom we lost so tragically earlier in the year, so it's good to be able to help her out. So for the next week, our number is 01545 560 500, as we'll be living in our own house in Nanturnis. I'll be sending an email to that effect later to all of those of you who are on email. And so to our prayers. Let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. We pray for our Bishop Joanna, our Archdeacon Eileen, Area Dean John, for our assistant clergy Judith, Halewen, John and David. We pray also for Richard, as he continues to seek the Lord's guidance about the possibility of ordination. We pray for all our worship leaders, wardens and other church officers, especially as they consider the complex issues of when and how to open up our churches again in the latest phase of our recovery from COVID. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With the news this week of the report from the United Nations, we pray for all those responsible for making policy in our climate emergency, but also for ourselves and our churches as we consider our own response. We remember especially those already suffering the effects of climate change, especially at this time people in Greece, Turkey and the surrounding region fighting extensive wildfires, and in Western Europe, those still recovering from the appalling floods of last month in which so many people died. Lord, be with them and keep them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, remembering especially those with COVID and particularly those suffering with long COVID. We continue to pray and give thanks for NHS staff dealing now with new infections still and vaccinations and other treatment. Again, we pray for ourselves in our own response, praying that we may find sensible ways to rediscover a more normal life. Among the sick from our churches and communities, we continue to pray especially for Brian Francis. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We remember all those who have died, and we continue to pray for all those from our churches and communities who are grieving, so many amongst us, but especially at this time, the family and friends of Roger Bryan. We pray for Bethan and all her family. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
And our final hymn is How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Vast Beyond All Measure.
Deep the Father's love for us,
We finish our service by saying the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning, and let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.